today we've got Josh on the podcast. He's going to tell the story of how he vibe coded an idea he got from ideabrowser.com and then sold it in 8 days for $15,000. It was a roller coaster journey. And the reason I wanted to have him on the pod is I want him to teach you how you could do the same. And I just thought it was a really interesting story of how someone could take something from zero to one and this whole age of ideas with AI. Enjoy the episode. Josh, welcome to the pod, and I can't wait to hear what you have to say.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Greg. I'm pumped to talk shop.
All right, so maybe walk us through how this whole thing happened, because it's a crazy story.
It's absurd is what it is, Greg.
Like, I don't know if you're numb to it, but like, I was telling this to, I went for coffee this morning, I was telling this to like a barista, and he was like, that's insane. Like, guy steals an idea from the internet and then like ends up like flipping it for $15,000. Like, what kind of world do you people live in?
That's right. Yeah. I mean, yes. What world do we live in? Like, yes, we're in some sort of weird unicorn bubble. I feel like this entire story can be told in tweets. And so that's sort of what I'm going to attempt to do here. You posted on, what day was this? July 14th. So this is 10 days ago. You tweet about an AI agent that finds expired.com domains. So I did not see this tweet initially. However, someone who follows me did. They just tagged me with some, you know, with an emoji. And then I replied that I had plans this week because I saw that tweet and I knew that it was going to eat at me. And then I tweet, let's see, where is it? Oh, that I'm building this. Yeah. So this is what the next day,
which, by the way, you know what you did here. I don't think a lot of people realize is you committed, you made yourself on the hook for doing it, right? You publicly said, I'm doing this thing.
Yeah. That's my addiction to Twitter. So, I just have to like, that's great content, right? Like if I say I'm posting about it, so like, my previous startup was called Baremetrics, like a business analytics platform. I sold it back in 2020. But like in 2013, I think I had a very similar tweet where, Stripe had just started, like they were still at really early days. Nobody had really built anything on their API other than just like integrating it for payments. But as far as like apps built on top of Stripe, nobody else had really done anything. So like I made a tweet that said something like, SaaS or like Stripe Analytics company. I'm building it tonight, like coffee brewed. This was like at like 7 p.m. or something. And that was the kind of thing that like I, you know, over the course of about 2 weeks or something, I built this tool that ended up like I sold for like millions of dollars back in 2020. Like, but that resulted in this. Or it started, the impetus for it was this tweet that I made. And so like, I find myself doing that a lot habitually where like, if I think of something, I'll tweet about it. And then like that just brings up, you know, first customers a lot of times come from these kind of tweets. Like it's self-serving to some extent. And it does provide a little bit of accountability. But yeah, so like the next morning, at 8:50, I tweeted about it. However, I had been up since I typically get up around like 4:30 or 5 in the morning, and I had been working on it already at that point, like a few hours. And so that was 24 hours later. I tweeted from your tweet. I committed to it basically, and then I just kept tweeting about it in a thread, and then by, let's see, what time was this? 7 p.m. that same day, it was live. So, that was sort of like the from your idea to the time that like I actually launched it was like less than 36 hours, I think.
People are going to want to know how you actually did that.
Yeah. So, the nitty gritty of like pulling that off. There's so many things here, right? Like you see in the thread here, I'm talking about buying domains. Like I first got the .ai that was available for Namesnack. Now, this will be great. So let's see if I can. Okay. So in Claude, finding names for stuff is just maddening. Specifically when it comes to finding domains that are available. So what I've been doing is I have a Whois MCP, which we can talk about that if you want to, that that's really getting into the weeds, that will check the availability of domains right here in Claude Chat. But like, let me give you an example. So what I did before I even figured out Namesnack was like, I have to figure out the name of something, because if I can't like name the folder I'm going to put this stuff in, or like when I'm generating code, I can't reference the product. Like if I don't have a name for it, it will drive me crazy. So like the very first thing I do is name the thing. Now, started doing this thing a couple weeks ago where I'll be like, I need to name an app that helps people find expired domain names, come up with words related to find or snipe was I think one word, or acquire related to domains. So it comes up with 20 ideas here, just right out of the gate, fine. And then it should hit that Whois. Yeah. So now it starts going through using that MCP to see what's available. So I just did this for, I don't know, 30 minutes or an hour or something, where it does all this. It'll go through all 20 of them. And then at the end, it might be like, I couldn't find anything. Or here are the three .ais. There were no .coms. And I'll just say 20 more, 50 more, whatever. And I'll do this until I've got 200 random things. And because it's all within the conversation of Claude, every time it will basically summarize like, okay, after all this, here are all the .coms that are available. Here's the .coms and the .ais that are available. Like it'll just summarize it. It keeps summarizing it for me, and it'll even give its opinion, you know, on like what's available, what's probably, you know, what's your best bet? Like what's the best pick out of all these from a naming perspective, which
people often tell me like, they're big, you know, they're always like, the .com's not available, the .ai is not available, like all the good domains are thousands of dollars, and it's just it's not true. Like there are available domains that are snappy and catchy that you could get for tens of dollars,
right?
And my first reaction to when I saw your tweet, your quote tweet around, I'm building this, it's called Namesnack, I was like, this is going to crush, just because of the name. Like the name is so good that sometimes like when you have a good name to something, it kind of sets a floor for how much it's worth just because of the name and the concept.
Sure. And a lot of the stuff, I also have a background. I went to school for design. So like I have this... I look at everything through this lens of like, oh, will this work from like a branding perspective or some sort of design perspective? Like, oh, I hate, like if something looks weird from a, like the way that the word looks or something, like there's this like mental block for me where if like, man, I just hate how that will probably look if I try to, you know, do a logo for that or something. Like, you know, if one word ends in the letter P and the next word starts in a letter P, I know that's like, that'll be just impossible from a branding perspective or something like that. So like a lot of times I'm rapidly also thinking through branding stuff as well, as these things are coming up, you know? But I mean like here, yeah, we found .com and .ais that are available. So that was what I did with Namesnack, you know? I mean, and then, but that's the thing with the Claude stuff is like, because it's got this, all this context, I could literally just be like three more and it'll repeat the whole thing. And it's so easy. It's just ridiculous how easy it is to try this stuff out and to brainstorm this stuff, and get ideas. So like, this is my favorite thing as of late for ideas, because like I want the some TLD to be available, whether that's .com, .ai, .app, .co, I don't know, whatever. It doesn't matter. You can try any of that stuff. So that was what was the initial. Let's see if any of those were available. Yeah. So
I don't think people are using, I call it Claude. I don't think people are using Claude like this, by the way.
I'd really never used it until the MCP stuff.
Yeah.
Like that's really kind of what, because I'm sort of nerd out over ChatGPT and specifically like O3, that model, and like the deep research stuff.
Yeah.
So, but when I could start connecting this to other stuff, it's sort of like made it click for me. And obviously I use their code stuff is my weapon of choice for like actually building stuff. But yeah, the domain name, the naming stuff.
Incredible.
Kills it for me.
Kills it. Okay. So you named it.
So I named it. So let me switch back to.
You got a really good name. Step one. Really good name.
So, you know, yeah. So I got the .com and the .ai. AI was available. I did. The .com was like 5,000, I think. And I did, but they had a payment plan. So I was like, okay, whatever. I have nothing to lose here. I'm just paying a few hundred bucks a month on this thing. And we'll see
what
happens.
Which, by the way, a lot of people don't realize that if you find a domain that is really incredible and is $5,000, $10,000, $15,000, a lot of people will rent the domain to you.
Yeah.
Right.
And a lot of in this particular case, it was listed on, it's atom.com, ATOM.com. And like it's already built in. Like I didn't have to go and like contact the seller or anything like that. I mean, it was essentially all automated. Yeah. Which was why I was able to buy it that morning and then like I could use it that evening. You know, I wasn't having to negotiate a bunch of stuff or whatever.
But if you're vibe coding something and you're trying to do something similar to this, doing something like finding a great domain, maybe leasing it and then maybe flipping it is a really interesting way to think about it.
Yeah. So it lowers sort of your risk, right? Especially if you can lease it, not even make payments towards owning it. Like, I mean, there are cases where you can, the person who owns it was just like, I'll just lease it to you, whatever. And then whenever you're done with it, that's the end. That was still as a 9 o'clock that morning. I got both domains that I wanted. So then I just started building. And we can talk about that in a second here, but like you'll see. So what time is this at? That was at 11:30 a.m. I was talking about how I'd already built the back end for it. And then like a minute later, I posted this first pass at a logo. So like what I'm doing is while I'm sort of vibe coding this thing, and the AI is running in the background building this stuff, I'm an Illustrator, which, you know, you could be an Illustrator, Figma, Canva, whatever, designing this thing. So the first thing I did, and I had this idea of like the dot. What was sticking in my head was the idea of like, these are all, you care about the TLD that you're getting, the .com, the .ai, whatever. So let's focus on like a dot. So that was the initial impetus for this sort of like dot name snag thing. I'm a sucker for like slightly rounded typefaces. So that was that initial idea. I was kind of going with this green. Then I started thinking, well, how does this look inside an avatar? Like, you know, a little square or a circle. So we need something smaller. And then that led to like, well, what if we do something like, you know, this, where, all right, just a slightly more interesting dot. Then I cleaned that up a little bit and ended up on that.
Which obviously slaps. Just obviously. Right.
Well, it just felt good.
Yeah.
And blue is super cliche in the tech world, but like, whatever.
Yeah.
I like the blue. Now that, I posted that on Twitter, like, here's my first pass. And there's a guy named Derek who has sort of like, whenever I post these side projects, he's like, hey man, I made a logo for you. So, and then I'll be like, oh man, that's legit. Send me a Stripe invoice link and I'll send you some money. So this has happened maybe like 5 times now where he does this. And then I just give him money, unprompted. So, you know, you could just do things. And so, so then he basically sends me this, you know, which a little bit cleaner, gets rid of the rounded stuff, which is fine. I think it feels slightly more professional to me. And so, so I bring the logo mark into Illustrator, this like in thing. And then that sort of where we landed was like this, this iteration is what made the site.
So you have really good branding. You took a first stab at it and then someone, you know, did the last mile. So I think the lesson there is, you know, these people are out there and, you know, even if you're not a trained illustrator, like you can use tools to take a first stab and, you know, and then get someone for not an exorbitant amount of money to take something to the
left. I think people tend to overthink this. And there were lots of people who are like, well, what tool are you using to design the logo? Assuming that it was AI generated.
Yeah.
Which is fair and also completely valid to do. So there's no reason you can't just like ask ChatGPT to make you some logo, especially in the early stages.
Yeah, but you need to have an idea. You need to have some
like a concept,
right?
Yeah. Yes. You should, if you think, put yourself in the shoes of like an art director or something, right? Or like a creative director who's like trying to give some directions. It was the same way with like, you know, in the chat there about coming up with domain ideas. Like I gave a few words that I wanted to kind of like focus in on, right? So then it can just act like a thesaurus based on the wording or the tone and go from there. So like, as with all things AI, the more context that you can provide it, the better it'll.
Yeah. And you might want to say like, you know, this could be the prompt, like pretend you're a creative director. I look up to people like Josh Pigford from NameSnagging. Maybe I look up to, you know, Greg Eisenberg, Late Checkout, ideabrowser.com. You use those, you screenshot those logos, give it the context and then see what it pumps out. Then you have to actually, I saw this really good tweet today from Jordan Singer. And he said, here it is. The new bottleneck is no longer doing the work. It's reviewing the work. I think that's very true.
Yes.
So you'll review the work and then probably pass that off to someone who takes it to the last mile.
Yeah. So you briefly mentioned maybe there. So like there's 4 of us working on that product, and one of them is I would say another engineer because I'm doing a ton of coding, but he's the actual engineer. Like he's the one who's actually really knows what he's doing on the engineering side. And so much of our process between he and I is like I'll vibe code something super fast just to test out the idea or the UX behind it or whatever. And then I'll code it. Then I'll push it to Git. And then he'll go in and like essentially clean up my mess. So like I'm passing off a lot of this to someone who's, has a better idea of sort of like how this affects all the other parts of the code or whatever, you know? So there's a lot of this handing off that happens throughout the whole process, right? Even the logo here for NameSnag was handed off to someone who's can probably do a better job. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, cool. So we got that. And then what happened? Yeah.
So logo, I'm not going to just like cover all the tweets here, but I do think this plays a part in sort of the story here. So what you see me doing here is like I post a poll about like how do we style the domain? Do we do this, you know, capitalize the S, lowercase, whatever. Post a screenshot of like proof that I've actually got something working. And this entire time is me making this almost this community effort on some level. To me, what's super interesting about social is not just constantly broadcasting, right? Like it's the interactivity part. It's me posting something and someone has an idea. Me posting something, a logo, and someone responds with a different logo. Someone saying, like, I like that feature. What if you did this? And that's incredibly beneficial, both to me as I'm sort of doing this sitting here in a box by myself, but it's also building up a bit of hype on the product itself. So I keep yapping about it. And then get to the point where it's like, hey, we've launched. Yeah, again, that was like 7 o'clock that night. Basically, I worked on it for the better part of 12 hours or so that day. And but I think later that evening, like, I stayed up another couple of hours and was at, I mean, we did $1,000 or something in revenue within a couple of hours of launching this thing, in subscription stuff, because I had just been talking about it all day, right? Like, because I was posting polls and screenshots and asking for feedback on things.
I think it's more than that, in my opinion. I think it's when I zoom out, because I know a lot of people are going to be like, well, Josh has 50,000 followers. Of course he got $1,000 MRR in a few hours. But what if you look at I'm building this, click on that. I just want to see how many impressions you got from that. 145,000. Like, if you go to your Twitter account, like, you don't normally get 145,000.
Oh, impressions, right.
You know what I mean?
And yeah. Like
this is a big one, and you're getting 11,000. Go like to,
let's see, buy cookies for breakfast.
You know, you're getting in the single digit thousands of views.
Right.
And you got 145 times more impressions. Now let's break that down. Why did you do that? What happened? You jumped off a trend. Basically, you found a tweet that was going viral.
Right.
In this case, it was about a startup idea.
Yeah.
And you quote retweeted it. And
which I did not realize this. Like, my quote retweet got, you know, not as much as your original tweet.
Almost.
Almost, right?
Yeah. Almost.
So it's like, yes, it very much though was like jumping on to that your tweet that started going quasi viral.
Yeah. So that's what people don't understand about these social platforms, specifically X too, is like, find something you can, there's tweets going viral every day, and there's a startup idea related to that. Like, I saw, go to Brett from Design Joy's Twitter. So I've had this guy on the pod once, and here he said, click his latest tweet. So there's this app that's going viral right now. I think it's making like $200,000-$300,000 a day of revenue, which is crazy. You know? And he designed it. It's called Tea Dating Advice, and it's like an anonymous app to like basically score men that they go on dates with. And so it's an obviously viral idea. And he says, sure. I'm the designer behind the mega viral tea dating app. If anyone wants to build the equivalent for men, my DMs are open. I have plenty of ideas. So there's, yes, this guy, Brett from DJ, can go build this, but you can also quote retweet this and be like, I'm building this.
Sure.
And then all of a sudden, how many views this guy? He just, you know, it's gotten
55,000.
Like, all of a sudden, you're like siphoning views, and then people are following along your story, and then they become your first customers.
As I was posting this stuff, there were, you know, I think there are a number of comments that talked about how, like, you know, if anybody else is building this, like, it's game over. Josh will like beat you to it. Knowing that how fast I'll build stuff. And I think that the problem is most people overthink this stuff, right? Like, I have a skill set to building fast, only because I've put in the reps to know how to build stuff really fast. So here's a list of, what is it, 78 projects over the past like 20 years of things that I've built. And this doesn't include everything that like I built and then just shut down because I didn't completely finish it because I realized, oh, this isn't going to work. Like, there was a Twitter bookmark AI processing thing that like I was building, got real close to finishing it, but then I realized, oh, I'm going to have to spend $50,000 a month for Twitter's API to like actually make this work. So that those things don't show up on this list here. So like there's 78 things here on the list, but it's hundreds of things where I've started something, right? So I'm very good at like the 0 to 1 for most things, like just starting something and seeing what happens. And so I've put in the reps, and there's no reason someone can't take like go to like Idea Browser every day and just freaking build the thing. Even if you, I told this to people who like new, say freelance designers who are like, well, how do I get clients? I don't have a portfolio. Well, just like make up stuff, man. See an idea for a company and just make a logo for it, or design a website, or design the app, or, you know, do like Brett's doing where you have some idea and he designed it. He didn't like build the app, but he designed it. Like you can do that. You can just do that. Right. And there's no reason you can't take something, an idea of every day on Idea Browser and say, okay, here today, this week, I'm going to time box myself for the week to build this thing out. And I'm going to tweet about it constantly, annoyingly even. And eventually you'll build up a following just around that even.
I was talking to someone who he's, you know, 17 years old, and he wants to go to business school. And I was like, what does that even mean in 2025 to go to business school? Like, what does that even mean? Like, you should go to shipping school.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you should, you know, use Idea Browser, use or just come up with ideas on your own, like use ChatGPT, like whatever it is, just get the reps in to know how to, you know, take an idea from 0 to 1, all the stuff that we're talking about, you know, the like to us and to you, Josh, like it's intuition, but you've built it over time, right? So people need to build that intuition.
Yeah. I think that there's everybody wants, and it feels AI has made it feel like there's a shortcut. And yeah, to some extent, on some parts of it, there are. But the reason, you know, some of the questions people were asking or wanted to know from this podcast were like, what, you know, are you using some sort of like boilerplate template for code or whatever, which I'm not. And like a lot of that stuff is just, I just know how these things are going to work because I've done it so many times. And I haven't done it because I got paid to do it, right? Like I'm not doing this working at some company or whatever. I'm doing it because I enjoy building stuff. And so I end up getting the reps in because I'm obsessive about it. And you just do that and you talk about it. And then, you know, yes, my 50,000 followers or whatever is helpful. That's a level of distribution. But like that came from me being on Twitter since 2007, right? Like almost 20 years and just tweeting constantly about stuff. Not saying that you need to like 20 years to build up a following, but like you build up a community around the stuff that you're doing by just putting in the work. And
yes,
you can't. Really,
but I will say it was harder for us back in the day because we had to build followers, and then we had followers to distribute, and that took a lot of hard work. Today, yep, with the For You,
sure,
didn't exist, right? So
yeah,
there's people who have like the tweet that went, you know, I think it was like one of the most viral tweets of all time. It's like share a piece of lore. Did you see that tweet?
Oh yeah, yeah. Yes.
Like go to that tweet.
Absurd.
I think it got like 1.3 billion views. There it is. So
1.2 billion.
Yeah, give me a break. Like first of all, that person is getting what? Like a check for $500,000. When I saw this account, I think it had 2,000 followers.
Followers, yeah. Almost 30,000 now. Yeah, that was not possible.
That was, you know, not possible.
Even 10 years ago.
Yeah. So yeah, if I could summarize, like my takeaway from your story is find good ideas or come up with good ideas. Figure, you know, have a positioning and brand in the market that sticks out, bring people along for the journey, and just keep trying to make it better.
I think there's people are so afraid of putting out stuff that, you know, I mean, there's that, like that Reid Hoffman quote about like, if you've launched something that's like perfect or whatever, you've waited too late or something like that. Like waiting to ship perfect software, like you've already waited too long. Like you just have to ship stuff. And a lot of it's going to look bad. It should almost by definition should like be kind of gnarly. Because otherwise you're starting to make assumptions about what people will use, what features they want when we're talking about software. Like you just have to kind of do things and then get feedback on it. And like with Namestack, there was all sorts of feedback around people saying like, well, this doesn't work, or like, this is a bad idea, which is fine. Like people are allowed to critique stuff. But if anything, that means like, that's a good thing that you're getting that kind of feedback, because it means people are paying attention.
Before we head out, what would you have done differently in this project?
I don't know that I would have done anything different, because I really, there's another tweet in here, which it would take me 10 minutes to find, but like, so I posted this, what day of the week was this on? July 15th was, what was that? Like a Wednesday or something? That was a Tuesday. So that was on a Tuesday. That Thursday, I occasionally will like go up, take the dog and go up to the mountain, the cabin in the mountains, and just spend a few days kind of doing whatever. So like that Thursday, I went and I like spent the first couple of days just building out. I scrapped the entire first thing that I built, all of the code, and literally built it from scratch again on like that Thursday. So like 2 days later, I built version 2 of this thing. And I think the keeping up, like if I had not sold it, I probably would have kept that same mentality of like, let's scrap it and like, let's build the next iteration of this. And then to me, that's what AI enables, is this sort of rapid iteration on things, where you have an idea and then you realize, oh, here's some things that didn't work. Okay, well, you can just build it again. Like it's not, we didn't spend 6 months building some complex piece of software, spend a few hours and I'm not tied to it. I now have learned, I've got new information, so let me just build it again. And to me, like that's one of the big takeaways is just, you know, I shipped 2 versions of this thing in like a 48-hour period. And you can apply that to almost any side of business, including marketing, you know, growth stuff, code, whatever. You just keep building stuff really fast and don't get like tied to it, right? It's everything's not your baby.
Amen, brother. So people have asked you questions. We're going to go through 3 or 4 of those questions and answer them.
Cool. Let's see. So somebody asked here about selling. So this is actually a decent topic for us to talk about here. So they asked when I knew I should sell it, or do I build to sell things? So first off, I don't typically build anything to sell it. I build it because I'm trying to learn something. Like that's my motivation, is I'm teaching myself some piece of code, or some concept, I guess. So I don't build stuff to sell, but I do tend to assume I will not hold on to things for a long time. So this is the same reason that I can build V2 48 hours later, because I'm not so married to V1 that I built and think that I've done something amazing. Like if I've learned what I needed to learn from it, then like, let's move on. And that was the case for this. You know, your idea was like, you could build a 1.2 million ARR business, which is entirely possible. I wasn't necessarily, I didn't build it because I thought that I could make $1.2 million, right? So I sold it for like $15,000 8 days later, and it's 100% could have sold it for more, but like I wasn't building it to sell it. I wasn't building it to make $1.2 million. Like I was building it because I wanted to learn stuff about like Whois records, and then the ability for AI to like process all this data and, you know, semantic search stuff, like super nerdy things that just happened to fit this project. And that struck a chord for me. So I decided to build it. But that's sort of my motivation is almost exclusively for learning things, more than anything. There's a couple of questions about like selling it or like this person here's like leave money on the table and not list it on like acquired.com. I think there one idea that I have had here is like it would be kind of interesting if I wasn't actually building a full scale sort of VC backed startup also, along with all these side projects, is it would be kind of fun to every week pick some idea, build it out, and then you just sort of sell a startup in a box. I think there's this thing. So in the past, since 2023, in the past like 2 years, I've built all these different apps, like sold for 8,000, sold for 25,000, sold for 5,000, sold for 12,000, sold for 24,000. Like, I think I've probably done, I don't know, close to $100,000 over the past couple of years just selling off random side projects that I built over the course of like a week. So I think that there's, if your obsession is just building stuff, you could almost make that your job. You know, like there's income to be had of just like taking an idea, building it, and then selling it. I think AI allows for a lot of that stuff. And there's people who don't want to get in the weeds on the AI, but do want a functioning tool. And you could sell it. To me, that would actually be kind of fun.
Cool. That's the podcast, bro. We did it. I appreciate it. Josh, how many ideas did you say you've done? 70?
There's 78 on this list here on my website.
So this is the Startup Ideas podcast. You're obviously you're an idea person. You're one of us. I appreciate you coming on. If people want to follow Josh's journey, I will include links to all the places you can get to know him better in the show notes. Check him out. I told him before we hit record, I told Josh that he's my ex crush of the week, because I recently found him and I've been consuming his tweets, loving it. So, you know, keep it up.
Well, thanks for having me, Greg. This was a ton of fun.
Later.